Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to the big show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. I'm very excited tonight. I'm taking a break from painting, and I'm just chilling out here in South Florida, having a great night, and it's only going to get better. We've got Robert Miller from the fantastic jazz rock fusion band, Project Grand Slam, out of New York. Robert, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jamie. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, thanks for being on. You're classing up the joint around here. It's I'm very excited. Big fan. I love your music. It's phenomenal. Really good stuff.
Well, thank you very, very much.
Now, as I understand, we're gonna be playing some of the music tonight too. As I understand, you have a new album out, which is released tomorrow, I believe, right on the 19th.
That's right. You're getting it first.
Outstanding. It's the Queen's Carnival. That's going to be out. And I know you've been taking pre-orders and whatnot, but people will be able to pick this up, Spotify, iTunes, wherever digital music sold, right, I believe?
Right. It's basically available everywhere in the world as of tomorrow. Right now, I guess you can get it on iTunes as a preview. But by tomorrow, it's everywhere.
Wow. Now let me ask you, the Queen's, this isn't your guys' first album, right?
No. This is our fourth album as a band. It's the first album I have with this particular lineup, but we've been around for a little while.
Nice. Now, us not in the music business, we see albums being released and whatnot, and a lot of people, I guess, they understand that there's a lot of work involved, but I don't know if they understand exactly how much work is involved before the release, from conception to getting it out there. Was this a long process for you guys?
Well, yeah, you're 100% right. First of all, I write almost all the tunes on the record. So it starts with, the germ of an idea, and then you kind of work with that. And I present the music to my band, and then we work on it, and we hone it, and all of that. And in addition to the original material, I'm a child of the 60s myself, and I love to take some of the great classic rock songs from the 60s and reimagine them, as I like to say. So I've created on this record a completely new version of a song that was one of my favorites by a band that was one of my favorites. I'm talking about the Kinks version, or the Kinks You Really Got Me. So on this record as well.
It's a fantastic, fantastic reimagining of that classic. We're going to play that here in a little bit. I love your music because it's like, jazz and whatnot, of course, and it's definitely got the toe-tapping urban beat to it. But you're right, there is a vein of rock, it's definitely got a shot of rock in there as well. Have you always been a jazz musician, or did you start out in rock and then move into jazz?
No. The first part of my life, first 20 years of my life, was all rock and roll.
Gotcha.
Basically, I like a zillion other people in my era. Once that little band from Liverpool was on television on the Ed Sullivan Show, everything changed. So everybody started playing guitar. I was playing trumpet before that, I was about 13 years old. I taught myself how to play guitar because trumpet was no longer very cool. You had to play guitar. And
right.
I played go ahead.
No, I was just laughing. I'm just laughing because I've never been a musician, but I've hung out with a lot. And I've, the guitar bug happens, man.
Well, yeah, that was it.
One
I mean,
blonde going, ooh, guitar.
It was, yeah. I mean, it was a great thing to learn. And then I switched to bass, and I was playing, as I said, rock and roll throughout my high school years and into my teenage and later years. And then a funny thing happened. I took a little music course when I was 19, and they paired me up with a guy, and I didn't know who he was at the time, but his name was Jimmy Garrison. And for any of your fans out there that are familiar, Jimmy Garrison was John Coltrane's bass player. So it was like like hitting the lottery, okay, that this is the fellow that they paired me up with for lessons. And he opened my eyes completely to music, and that's when I started to play jazz.
You know, it's interesting because jazz, you know, with my musician friends and as a listener and a fan of it, you definitely go through stages in life, you know, and I remember being a teenager, and I had one friend that was really into jazz, and he was a cool guy. I mean, this guy was like a teenage James Bond, and he was into jazz, you know. It wasn't you're with me the same thing. Later, when I got a little later in life, then I started to appreciate jazz, you know.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's hard for somebody that's younger to really understand that, you know, it's improvisational music. It's not as melodic for the most part, and it doesn't have the same kind of beat as rock and roll does. But that's kind of the way that I tried to play this record. You know, for the longest time, I was known as a contemporary jazz artist, and I'm not even sure what that means anymore. But I was definitely between the rock side of my brain and the jazz side of my brain. I was leaning much more towards the jazz side. And I said to myself about a year ago, I said, you know, I really want to be more true to my spirit. And my spirit is right down the middle. It's right between that power and what I love about rock and roll, you know, the way it plays, the way it affects you. And then the jazz side, which is a little bit more intellectual, more complex, more improvisational. And I said, I want to create a record with the band that kind of goes right down the middle. And I think I've done that with the Queen's Carnival, and I'm really very pleased with it.
Well, that's outstanding. Let's play a track so people know, get a feel for what we're talking about. I've got the entire album queued up here. What do you think we should start out with, Robert?
Well, why don't you start out with the second track, which is called The Rescue. It's actually the first single that we released from the record. And if any of your listeners are kind of dozing off or need a little pepping up, I think this track will do it for them.
Definitely. Outstanding track. Here it is. This is the Project Grand Slam's The Rescue. Listening to Project Grand Slam. Get a clean copy of this track off their new album, The Queen's Carnival, wherever you buy digital music.
Thank you.
What a track. What a track. The Rescue Project Grand Slam. We've got the band leader, Robert Miller, and bass player of Project Grand Slam on the line with us. Robert, I like that track a lot.
Well, thank you so much. You know, that's the last track that I wrote for the record. And, you know, sometimes when you write music, you know exactly how it's going to come out. And in this case, it was the opposite. I had in mind a record that I've always loved by the band mm-hmm. Cream. And they recorded mm-hmm. this song called Crossroads, you know, about 50 years ago. And it was a live version, and it was always my favorite live rock song. And I started out saying to myself, okay, I want to take the kind of feel that they got in that song, and I want to create something around that. So I wrote this song, The Rescue, and I brought it down, and we started playing it in that vein. And after about 10 seconds, I stopped the band, and I said, oh, my God, this is awful. This is not working at all. And right after that, my guitar player played that little introduction riff that you may recall on this tune.
Yeah.
And we just launched right into it with exactly the beat and the feel that you hear on the record. And it was like, voila, you know, the cake
there
came out of the oven fully baked.
That is so cool. You know, I'm a painter. That's what I do for a living. It's how I put bread on the table. I'm painting people's pictures and whatnot.
Good.
And
I'm glad you're not
sometimes
a musician, because you wouldn't put any bread on the table that way.
I'm telling you, it's hard slapping paint around too, let me tell you. But anyway, sometimes a painting, I always try to have, you know, I'm very methodical and all this and that, and you know, all the stuff, good stuff you learn in school. And you know, I go into one with a plan, but you're right. Sometimes it goes easy, and sometimes it goes hard. But it is so nice when it goes easy. I feel what you're saying there.
I feel like when you write music and you create it the way I do, and I, you know, I'm not a classical composer. I don't write out a whole score. I come up with an idea, come up with the melody, the chords, the feel that I know that I want. And then I present it to my musicians, and because, you know, these are all school-trained, extremely talented people that I play with, I never say to them, play this or play that. I just say, here it is, and, you know, kind of figure out a part for yourself. And if it works, I'll nod. If it doesn't work, I might suggest something. So it's an iterative process that I use to create these things. And like I said, sometimes I know exactly what I have in mind, and it comes out the way that I wanted it, the way I envisioned it. Other times, it just kind of comes out the way it was going to come out, whether I wanted it to come out that way or not. And if I can give you one other example on the record, I wrote a song called New Folk Song on the record, and I presented this to the band, and as soon as I presented it, my drummer put in a drum part that was like a little a whole thing that he did on the snare drum. It was almost like a march kind of tempo on the snare drum, and I hadn't thought of that at all when I wrote the thing, but as soon as he played it, I said, that's it. And you know, the funny thing is, it gave kind of a Celtic feel to this piece, which I didn't set out to write, but that's the way it evolved. And it was amazing. And I said, okay, we're going to keep that. That's how you hear it on the record.
That's outstanding. Let's play it. I got it queued up right here, man. It's a great track too. Here it is, folks. Check this out. New folks. You don't mind, do you, Robert? I think it's great.
Hey, please. No problem.
Cool. I love it. Here it is, folks. New folk song. Check this out. And keep that in mind. You know, you got a little bit of behind-the-scenes knowledge on this one laid down on you. I like that. Here it is.
listening to Project Grand Slam. Get a clean copy of this track off their new album, The Queen's Carnival, wherever you buy digital music.
We're back. That was New Folk Song by the Project Grand Slam. We've got Robert Miller, the band leader and bass player of the band, on with us. Robert, I like that. No, you were absolutely right. It did almost have a Celtic feel to it. I love the intro as well. Amazing.
Cool.
Amazing.
Glad you liked it.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be confusing. Like Swedish techno confusing.
Bark, bark, meow, meow. Dance with me, purple cow. Bark, bark, meow, meow. Ooh, you lovely cow.
Geico makes it easy. With 24/7 access, all you have to do is go to Geico.com and you could save money on car insurance. It just makes sense. Unlike, you know.
Dance with me, purple cow. I like your moves.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh. He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out. Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Hey, everybody. Pop artist Jamie Roxx here. Hey, last year, at the end of last year, some people, we've got quite a few inquiries where people wanted paintings, but, you know, the economy's getting better, but it's still kind of rough for a lot of people, and they just can't afford my normal larger paintings. You know, they love my work, but they just can't afford the big ones. So what we did on that is I've been picking different themes and painting smaller ones, 16 by 20 canvas, perfect size canvas for an apartment or a room. It's not overwhelming. It's not a big, huge thing you'd see in a gallery or in a big millionaire's house. It's good. And what they are, we've been selling those on eBay. So if you go to the website, www.jamierocks.us, you'll see the eBay auctions there. I try to have 4 or 5 per week up at all times. And, you know, we don't have any control over what those sell for. So you might get a good deal. But definitely worth checking out if you're on a budget. And, you know, I hope one of my original paintings will be hanging in your home soon. Thank you for your interest, and on back to the show now.
You said this is the new, it's being released tomorrow. No, you did do a, I was looking at your website, and you did have a CD release party a couple days ago. How did that go?
Yeah, we did that in New York City where we're based, and we really had an amazing time. We only played for half an hour because we just wanted to kind of tantalize people a little bit. We played six selections, five of them from this record, and one of them was from our prior record. It went over great, and you know, we discovered something recently that I'd like to mention if it's okay. Facebook has this terrific function called Facebook Live, and what it means is that, you know, as we're playing, we can stream the music live over Facebook, and once it's streamed, it becomes a permanent post on your Facebook page. So for the CD release party, we played six songs, and each one of them was filmed and streamed live separately. So if you go to our Facebook page, which is obviously facebook.com/Project Grand Slam, then your audience can kind of see the whole thing as if they were there live with us.
How cool is that? I mean, you know, and you bring up a great thing, too, that I'm amazed with the age of magical technology that we live in. I mean, like I said, I've never been in a band, but I've known tons. And, you know, growing up, believe me, people would, you know, I've staple gunned many a flyer to telephone poles and ran merch booths to get a ticket to see a show from friends' bands and whatnot. They always seemed to put me to work when I was a kid. And, you know, it was so much harder to get people to go to stuff before Facebook and whatnot. The youngsters have no idea how amazing these tools are. And
well, you know, I have kind
cool
of a love-hate relationship with all of these different tools, as you call them.
right.
The good thing is that music has become completely democratic, meaning anybody can put their music up on iTunes or on Amazon or get it streamed in different places. Whereas, you know, years and years ago, it was more like a film studio kind of system where the record companies more or less controlled what got released. So that's the good news. It's very democratic. And the bad news is it's very democratic, which means that
there's so much
music out there. There's so many artists, so many bands. You know, the question is, how do you break through? How do you break through the clutter and the noise so that people find you? And that's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge.
It was, you know, it was interesting. I was reading today in a totally different topic, but kind of on the same thing. I was reading an article in Variety magazine this morning about the cancellation of a Comedy Central show, The Nightly Show. And one of the things that struck me, very similar to what you said just now, is they said, well, you know, it had low ratings and also lack of social media buzz. And I'm like, wow, that became a thing. not only do you have to have ratings in whatever you're doing or people in, but you also have to have the social media buzz. And I guess
it's a different world. You know, we were on a show a few years ago that was a hit show at the time called Lipstick Jungle. I don't know if you remember it, but it starred Brooke Shields and Kim Raver and a few other people. And it was, you know, they only had, I think, 8 million viewers. And they got canceled because they didn't have a big enough audience. If you have 8 million viewers today on TV, you're like in the top 10, you know.
Right.
But the world has fragmented, and, you know, that getting your music out there is, it's really, in a sense, much more difficult, as I said, than it used to be. Facebook is probably the one of the best mechanisms that we have. But for anybody that does what I do, Facebook also has big pros and cons. The pros is that it goes all over the world. I mean, for example, those videos that I mentioned, we've put them out into the world, and we have fans now, and we get Facebook likes and things of that sort, literally from all over the world. And in fact, the biggest contingent of fans on Facebook that we have, I think, are from South America and from Brazil in particular. And don't ask me why, because I have no idea, but it's just that, they seem to really like the music. So for us to be able to put something, on Facebook, and then the next thing you know, you're getting all these likes from Brazil, that's a very, very cool thing. But the negative
definitely.
Is that, with Facebook, you basically, you have to use their system, and their system is not an easy system. If you have some listeners out there that know what I'm talking about, you have to pay for things and to schedule things and all of that. But it's still a very cool thing to have your creations go around the world like that.
Right. Absolutely. It is. I almost wish Facebook would come out with an option, a subscriber option. I would have no problem paying $5-$10 a month to eliminate some of the nonsense that they have on there, but they don't. It is the way it is. But yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. It can get very expensive scheduling posts and whatnot. I mean, there's a learning curve one has to go through to try to minimize that.
In the old days with record companies and record stores, you remember those days when there used to be record stores?
Oh, yeah.
they're all gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I saw this. I was on a transatlantic flight recently, and they had a documentary that you can rent about Tower Records. Tower Records
really?
Used to be the giant in record stores. And,
oh, yeah.
They were all around the country and all around the world, and of course they went bankrupt because nobody goes to record stores anymore. Nobody buys records. No, we put out a CD, and it's not as if people are out there buying CDs in droves anymore. They really aren't. The world went from vinyl to CDs to downloading, like on iTunes, and now, unfortunately for musicians, the whole world is streaming oriented. And when I say unfortunately, it's because the payments that musicians get from streaming are so microscopic. You literally need a magnifying glass to kind of see the royalties. If you remember, there was this great tune about a year ago, "Happy" by Pharrell, and it was only streamed about 50 million times or some crazy number like that. And he made $3,000 as royalties for that amount of streaming. So that summarizes the music business in a nutshell.
And the thing is $3,000 only goes so far in recording that song, in studio.
Oh, come on. He spent $3,000 getting to the recording studio. Look, this is the reason why musicians and bands tour as much as they can and sell merchandise and the like, because basically music has become a giveaway for, getting yourself known and promoted. It's like a calling card, and it's a sad state of affairs to me, but it is what it is. You can't fight City Hall. In the old days when I started, we used to put out a CD, and the record companies would mark it to, $16 or something like that. And the problem was that people only wanted to hear one or two tracks from the CD, and they couldn't get the one or two tracks without buying the whole CD. And that's what led into iTunes downloading and then ultimately into streaming. So, and the world changed when Napster came out. That was, that was the end of everything, because everybody, there was a whole generation trained that music was free. So it is what it is. But
and it's almost like they feel entitled to it. They don't realize, and I get you as an artist. I mean, I feel your pain. It's I was at a nightclub in Los Angeles. This was a couple years ago, and we left one nightclub. And in LA, when you go to clubs, you come out, there's always a bunch of kids out there with flyers for other nightclubs for you to go to. And somebody handed me a flyer, and I looked at the flyer, and I saw one of my paintings on the flyer. I had no idea who these people were or anything, and I'm like, well, I better get in free or at least get a drink, you know.
Right.
But, nothing ever. I didn't go to it or anything, but, you know, it's just – it's disconcerting, you know. Because you work hard and
you know what, it's the reality that we have to deal with. I choose to think much more about the pleasant aspects of what I do, you know,
right.
the creating,
exactly.
The writing,
and
the performing, playing live, getting positive feedback. It's a wonderful support system when it all works.
Exactly. And speaking of playing live, your next performance, you guys are going to be at the Grove in Greenwich Village this Saturday, right?
Well, you're close. It's the Groove, not the Grove. But, yes, it's in Greenwich Village.
One day I'll be able to read my notes. Oh, my God.
There's it's a really nice club in the village, in the heart of the village. And, the village is the place where you've got more music going on in New York City than anywhere else. And this is right smack dab, in the middle of it. And it's a very nice club. We play there on a monthly basis. We have what we call a monthly residency. And it gives me a chance
nice.
To not only, play the things that we have now, but to try out new things as well. And I have really month to month, I have a different cast of musicians that will play with me, which also makes things more interesting. So the lineup for Saturday night is really great. These are all terrific musicians that I play with, and we'll be playing most of the tunes from this record that you've got there, the Queen's Carnival. So if you got any fans in New York City, really hope that they come down and have them come up and say hello to me
yeah.
on the stage and tell me that they heard about it on your show.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers Shrine clothing and Alchemy Gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with their rock and reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
YourWebDesigner.info has a special for Pop Rocks Radio listeners. Have a website designed for only $80. Normally, they're $100, but with the special code ROXX, Pop Rocks Radio listeners can save 20%. If your computer is sluggish and running slow, yourwebdesigner.info can fix it all up remotely, and with that savings code, you'll only pay $40. Yourwebdesigner.info offers hosting and other various computer-related products. Please visit www.yourwebdesigner.info and let us build your future today. Remember, all web design includes a year of hosting for free and domain name registration for a year. www.yourwebdesigner.info.
Hi, folks. Are you looking for a custom gift for someone special in your life? Harper Lee Jewelry on Etsy offers custom hand-stamped jewelry created using pure aluminum, brass, copper, or new gold. Do you have a favorite inspiration or quote that you'd like to be represented? Well, no worries. Harper Lee Jewelry on Etsy can create a custom cuff or necklace that represents your interests or ideas with a beautiful piece of jewelry. You can find them at harperleejewelry.etsy.com.
Roxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Let me ask you now, nice, absolutely. Let's do another track. We mentioned the Queen's Carnival before. Should we play that one next, or what do you think we should play next, Robert?
Yeah, play the Queen's Carnival. Now, I mentioned to you that I like diversity in music, so I really tried to make this record as diverse as I could, although, you know, still having a core to it. And the Queen's Carnival is very different from anything else that I wrote for the record. This is kind of my Latin piece, and it really comes from the fact that my father was a musician. My father played trumpet. I played trumpet initially as well. And my father played, you know, weddings and club dates and things like that. But when he was at home, he listened to the radio. And the only radio stations that he ever listened to were the Spanish radio stations in New York City when I was growing up. So I heard Spanish music on the radio my whole upbringing. And it just got in me. And
right.
When I was writing this record, I got this little bug in my head about creating a record, you know, a song with a Spanish kind of influence, a Latin influence, and that's what came out when I wrote this record. So this is the Queen's Carnival, and this is an upbeat, fun piece, and I hope your listeners like it.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Here it is, folks. Project Grand Slam, the Queen's Carnival. Listening to Project Grand Slam. Get a clean copy of this track off their new album, The Queen's Carnival, wherever you buy digital music. We'll be right back.
The Queen's Carnival, folks, the Queen's Carnival Project Grand Slam. Man, what a track. What a track. A lot of fun. A lot of fun, Robert. That is a fantastic track.
Thank you so much. You know, can I tell a little story about this?
After we recorded it, I said,
you know, it's missing something. And I said to my musicians, they're all Latin guys. They come from all around the Latin world. I said, go back in the studio. Let's replay the track. And I said, I want you to pretend you're at a carnival, just like the name of the song implies. And I said, just have fun. And they went back in, and they were clapping and hooping and hollering and all of that. And that's what you hear on the track. And that's what gives it, in my opinion, that whole carnival flair.
That little spice there. I like it.
That spice, yes.
Exactly. And, you know, and it just translates so well. It's, you cannot help but smile when you listen to that track. Fantastic track.
Thank you.
Now, I know we're promoting this album, and that's where our focus is. And, folks, we do have links up, projectgrandslam.com, a fantastic website, and links to all the Project Grand Slam social media and what have you. And tomorrow you can get all these tracks on iTunes and all that. It'll be the 19th. It'll be available globally, worldwide. I have to ask you, though, Robert, because I think your mind's a little like mine. Plans, are the gears turning remotely at all for the next project? Are you totally focused on this one right now?
Well, I in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about the next one, but it's in the back at the moment because, you know, this one, I've just given birth to this, so I want to see the baby grow a little bit before I think about having the next one.
Outstanding, outstanding. Now, you do play live. You said you have a monthly residency there at The Groove, not The Grove, The Groove. Sorry about that, folks. And that's cool. Now, you know, it's, let me ask you this. Being a successful musician, as you are and whatnot, because I know there's some youngsters out here listening to the show that want to be where you're at. What type of advice would you give those youngsters to get, you know, these monthly residencies and having albums out and playing with all these fantastic musicians? How do you get to that point?
Yeah, that, you know, there's music and then there's the music business. And with respect to the music side of things, obviously you just got to, you know, stay true to your heart and figure out what you like and what you want to express, whether you're writing, whether you're playing or doing both. That's to me what's the most important. Play what you love and play what you can play because you love it. The music business side, you know, getting into clubs, recording, and all of that's a much longer, more complicated path. Some of it is very serendipitous. You know, who do you happen to meet? Who happens to like you? What type of music you're playing? Is it in at the moment, etc. So I don't really have any great words of wisdom there. Just keep plugging. That's what it is. Keep plugging.
Right. Keep doing it. And, you know, surround yourself with some good people, too, as you obviously have. Fantastic musicians.
Yes, I feel very, very fortunate. All the folks that I play with are terrific musicians. Most of them, as I said, they're young, they're talented, they come from other countries. They've come here to the U.S., either to get a music education or to make their mark. They bring with them, obviously, their upbringing, their culture, their way of playing. And, you know, although I'm writing the music and, you know, kind of setting the tone, like I said, they're bringing what they can and what they have to it, and that makes all the difference.
No, that's outstanding. You mentioned before, though, and it's interesting. As an artist, you do write a lot of all the music and whatnot, but you seem pretty cool to let people kind of improvise or add their seasonings to it.
Is that hard to do or not so much?
I guess it depends on what kind of composer you are. Like I said, I like to call our music, it's kind of a jazz rock fusion. And that means it's got the melody and the power and the feel of rock, but it's got the complexity and the improvisation of jazz, and we combine it all. And as a result, I don't like to tell people what to play. That's too confining. I'd rather set the tone. I'd rather set the parameters and let people find their own voice. And what it means is that every time I play the tunes, and even with different aggregations of players, they come out slightly different because the improvisations are different. You know, all of a sudden somebody will get inspired, and we'll let you know somebody solo go on longer, or all of a sudden we'll get a different feel in a piece than we had before. And, you know, so it's not like we're playing the piece exactly the same every single time we play it. And there are a lot of artists out there that, you know, they recorded something in a certain way, and when they play it live, you know, they play it exactly as it was recorded. And I respect that, but it's not what I wanted to do. In fact, there's one tune on the record that, in essence, is just a big jam, and it comes out totally differently every time we play it. It's called It's the Beat. And again, this one I set the tone with the kind of the barest outline. And as we rehearsed it, we just kind of evolved the piece to the point where I said, okay, we're ready to record it now. But when we play it live, as I said a moment ago, comes out different every time. And I love that differentiation.
So let's play it. I've got it right here. It's another great track. All these are great. Here it is, folks. It's the Beat. Project Grand Slam. Man, I can't talk tonight.
Listening to Project Grand Slam. Get a clean copy of this track off their new album, The Queen's Carnival, wherever you buy digital music.
Thank you.
There it is, folks. It's the beat. It's the beat. Project Grand Slam. I love that track. And, man, my buttons are sticking on the console. And we're here we are. Robert, fantastic, fantastic track. And, man, I've had a lot of fun tonight.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. I can't, you know, folks, you got to get out tomorrow. You can get this album, the album entitled... you can buy the whole album or you can buy the singles and whatnot. It's released worldwide tomorrow. And definitely, if you get a chance to check out Project Grand Slam, if you're in the New York area, go to projectgrandslam.com and they have lists and all that. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that kind of stuff because you can keep up keep abreast with what's going on. And there's certainly a lot.
Sure. We'd love to hear from any of your listeners.
Outstanding, outstanding. And before we end things tonight, I almost forgot. I want to give a big shout out to Chris over at Miles High Productions there for setting all this up and all of the behind the scenes work they do over there. Fantastic, fantastic production company over there, PR company. If you you know, if you're in a band or entertainment of some sort and you're looking for somebody to help you out with your digital PR. Get a hold of them. They're a fantastic company to work with, and we have a link for them up as well. Folks, we're going to close things out. Now we this will be converted to a podcast and up and out everywhere on social media here in about 45 minutes to an hour. If you are listening on to this on iTunes in the future, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor. Hit that ratings and review. That helps us out, puts us at the top of the page, doesn't cost anything. Really appreciate that. Robert, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the show, man. It's just awesome. And what a phenomenal album. The Queen's Carnival. I love it.
Jamie, thank you so much for having me, and hope your listeners enjoyed it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Project Grand Slam, folks. Get out there, get that album tomorrow, and go see them. Okay, we're out of here. And, yeah, this is Thursday, so we will be back. We're gone for the weekend. We'll be back Monday. We'll see you all then. Have a fantastic weekend, and we will see you all later. Thanks again.
Jamie Roxx's Pop Rocks Talk Radio Show has been executive produced by Jamie Roxx for Pop Rocks Limited, recorded at Deerfield Beach in South Florida for broadcast at Blog Talk Radio.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Roxx.
Blog Talk Radio.